It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
Hello and welcome to episode 255 of The Cult of Tea and Dice and episode 13 of Blue Train Black Knight. Episode 13. 13 of this chapter. I am Mordekin and I will be your GM still for this train-based, madness-based odyssey. Over to you. Explain yourselves.
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Clarissa Cliff.
I'm Archive, and I'm playing Errol Oldstaff.
I am Bloodied, and I am playing Russell Ripley.
And Loka?
I'm Loka. I'm going to be playing Marjorie Eakley. Dr. Wade Roberts has sadly left us. And I will also be attempting to keep my lungs inside my body.
That's good. And finally, Ill Porcupino.
I'm Mel Porcupino, I'm playing Selena Burns, and I'm pretty sure I'm about to flip my lid.
Right, so first things first, we have a tea. It's a T2 tea. It's one of the two T2 teas that we got from T2. I went to the T2 shop before Christmas, as we probably all know by now, and I bought two boxes of T2 tea. It turns out that in those two boxes of T2 tea, there were two teas that were the same in each box. So technically, I got one tea in two T2 boxes. However, it's T2 tea's chai, and it's nice. I'm really liking it. It's not too chai-y, if you see what I mean.
So you're saying you like it? You like the chai because it's not too much like chai?
I like the chai because it's not too heavy on the chai spices. Because you get some chai teas, and I'm going to point at Starbucks here.
Oh, Starbucks can't do tea anyway. They're awful.
And their chai is like... I'm going to give you a small taste of the tea and then hit you in the face with five spice powder.
You say that. I mean, have you had normal Starbucks tea? That's basically, I'm going to give you a small taste of the tea. That's well, it. Yeah, it's basically slightly hint of tea with water.
There's a reason why I only ever have hot chocolate from Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks is the reason I learned that there are some sorts of coffee I'll drink.
Oh, God. Because really? It doesn't taste like tea.
Vodka, mostly. And gingerbread Christmas drinks.
Fair enough.
But yeah, because that tea is that bad.
Yeah, but this chai is pretty good. I'm liking this chai. It's not too heavy on the chai spices. It's quite smooth.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's all I've got to say, sorry.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I've now tried it without milk, and I'm going to try it with milk. So I can...
From the egg cup.
I'm liking it with milk.
Yeah. Well, I need to try both, so I can have like a full experience. Yeah.
Milk has a tendency to sort of mellow out the chai, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I like my tea fairly mellow.
Do you have a spoon, though, is it?
There is one.
That's exciting.
We've got two. One for those of you having milk and one for those of you not. Of which I am, of course, one.
But there's none for the people who don't have sugar.
Well, no.
Controversial.
But tough. In short. So, generally, we are appreciative of this tea, but not bowled over by it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a really, really, really nice chai tea, then the Tea Pigs chai tea is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's
the best chai tea I've ever had.
At some point, I do intend to get some Tea Pigs teas, but you can't do the T2T2. Trick with Tea Pigs. It doesn't work. There's a P in there.
But wow. tea, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice chai. We all sort of like it. There's nobody saying it's horrible, but at the same time, it's not ended the world. Do you all want to roll for luck? And I advise you to do so.
Okay.
Not that I think you're all going to die, but...
We're all going to die.
We're all going to die someday.
Well, somebody's offering to help you and you're going...
I passed.
Fuck no.
Because we can't fucking trust him.
Oh no, of course you can't.
So we really can't.
Pass so he doesn't get any more luck. Selena also passes on a 0-2. Sorry, Selena.
Errol pass. This is all the good rolls for tonight.
Marjorie also passes. Well, I mean, they're all on 60s.
Well,
they're
in the 60s for luck. That does make sense. So is Clarissa the only one who failed and therefore gained luck?
Yeah.
How much luck did you gain?
I gained 6.
So you're up on?
I am up to 62.
In fact, for our statistician, can we go round the table and say what we're on? So you are on?
62.
You are on?
49. 7-7s are 49.
Russell Ripley is on 65.
Marjorie
is on
60 at present.
Yeah, 60.
And finally, Selena Burge.
I've got 61. Is that right, old Pontrina?
61.
61.
Yep.
Okay. That was for you, Bunkle. Now, could somebody please recap?
Basically, Castle Trania, because I didn't get that pun in last week, and I was really, really mad that I didn't get it in.
More explanation required.
Okay, so...
Well, first of all, we got two new people.
Yes, yes. Marjorie F. Eakley, who is a nurse, and Russell Ripley, who is an explorer.
Trash, all-round badass with a giant fucking gun.
Yeah.
Northerner.
And Northern. Yeah.
Very Northern.
Northern. I love doing an accent, mate.
I love talking in my natural dialect, me.
Yes, so they were sent by the Institute to get on the Orient Express and catch up with these lunatics and try and
hopefully
them.
Try and keep them from dying.
Yes, because that would be bad. Yeah.
Generally be unpleasant.
Generally unpleasant, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they, upon realising there was a commotion, they headed up train.
Mm-hmm.
With very little resistance from any of the guards, because, well...
They were all up train.
Yeah, because everything was clearly going nuts, and this lady is a medical professional. Maybe you need some medical professionals up there. Mm-hmm.
The answer was yes.
Yes. Admittedly, they arrived too late for Dr. Wade Roberts.
Really?
And his Mexican standoff. That ended so well with Inspector Belesquan.
His Bulgarian standoff, which is you stand facing each other and then shoot each other in the vital organs.
With shotguns at point-blank range, and surprisingly, you both die.
I think that actually worked out as a win overall.
Not for Dr. Wade Roberts, it didn't.
Well, no.
For the team.
For the team, it was definitely a win. For Dr. Wade Roberts, it was a win.
He took two for the team. Unfortunately, they were two slugs.
Yep.
Anyway, so upon meeting up with all these other crazy people and discovering that the front of the train was now alive and eating people, namely...
Not okay.
Not so, yeah. Yeah, namely eating Chester Philman and a guy's arm.
It ate the guy's arm. Chester Philman kind of fed himself to it.
Well, Chester was quite mad by that point, so
yeah,
made
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, he was quite insane.
It was at this point we realised something odd was happening at the back of the train, so we looked out the window and saw there was now a castle on it.
Also yes. Not okay.
Yeah.
You know, as you do, just pick up a travelling castle.
Where did that come from?
Well, that's what we decided to go and check it out.
Well, a page came and asked you to go and check it out, basically.
Yes, thank you, small child. So we went and checked it out, and, well, wouldn't you just know who it was? It was our old friend that actually only, like, a couple of the people here had met. And I've forgotten his name again.
The Duke d'Essant.
The Duke d'Essant, yes.
A.K.A. the Jigsaw Prince.
Yeah, because he's basically been stitched together from a whole lot of different people.
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
Yeah.
And he was decided that now is a good time to offer his help.
Yeah.
Because, well, what we seem to have figured out was because the ritual was still going, what probably had happened was we hadn't actually managed to kill, what's his face?
Well, no, we assume there were other cultists doing it further up the train.
The Jigsaw Prince is of the opinion that...
But he implied that Macriada
is dead yet.
Yeah.
He ain't dead.
And he offered to help with that in exchange for, and I want to say it was he wanted the death custom
Milagro. Yeah, that's pretty much what he wanted.
Yeah, which on a scale of 1 to 10 of things that are bad ideas, pretty sure giving him the death custom Milagro sort of goes off the scale at the high end.
Mm.
Would you trust this man with the death custom Milagro?
No.
No.
Would I trust this man with the oxygen he breathes? No.
Probably not.
And so we said, okay, we'll get back to you on that. Which he was not exactly overjoyed with.
I mean, we had to go off and work out whether or not he's telling the truth and whether Mencap was actually still alive.
Yeah.
Macria, that's the name I want.
Yeah, Mencap was Opera Cloak Flashback Man.
Yeah.
Opera Cloak Nutjob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we have him instead? We could just push him off.
Yeah, Macria has more style than to wear an opera cloak.
Yeah. Way more subtlety.
Yeah.
Macriat's like, you know, skillful and doesn't spend an entire breakfast gloating.
Yeah, he doesn't do the monologue. Well, he does the monologuing, but only after he's certain he's won.
Yeah. I mean, he did a monologue, but he was pretty fucking certain you were done by that point.
So
the fact that you weren't involved supernatural help. And a very, 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 very angry paraplegic.
Yeah.
So we've sat down and put our thinking caps on.
Yes.
And came up to the idea at this point that, ooh, maybe, what's her name?
Lady Constanza.
There's so many characters, I can't remember whose name is whose. I don't want to use the wrong one, so I don't use any. Lady Constanza might be Macriat, because, hey, she was unconscious next to the guy we thought was Macriat, who we corpse sued.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to try and track her down and figure out where she'd gone.
Mm-hmm. We tracked her down. That went all right. We then completely failed to ask her, like, the words, the password questions, and she's wandered off.
If only Chester was still here.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
You sort of didn't do anything. I can't actually remember what was going on.
Lewis spoke to Ludovic and he'd been... drugged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his coffee had been drugged.
Yeah, Ludovic is really tired.
Oh, and all our rooms have been ransacked.
Yep.
Our rooms have been ransacked. And then the annoying page
came
reappeared
back
going, said, come on then.
You probably should go and talk to my boss. I think that's maybe where we ended.
I think it was, yeah.
Okay. So the page is standing there like, yes, my master would like you to return with me so he can... speak with you about your decision regarding the deal.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, young man, but we're not quite ready.
Well, my master didn't wish me to impress upon you the fact that this is of a matter of some urgency, because very soon... this train, which is travelling far faster than it should do, may well reach Calais, and then, well, your quarry will be able to disappear into the greater populace.
I'm pretty sure people will notice a demon train passing through Calais and will do something.
I
think the point is more that there is no through.
But my master is of the opinion that you require his help to deal with Macriat. But if you wish me to return to my master and tell him you are unwilling to meet with him at this time, I can do so.
Marjorie just looks over at Clarissa, who is clearly in charge.
I'm just trying to... just trying to remember what exactly he was offering. He knows some magic that might help.
Yeah. You actually didn't really talk to him very much because Selena went nuts and you all left pretty quickly, so you didn't get any more details off him.
I think the general consensus was he's an untrustworthy shit, that we shouldn't actually take his word on anything.
Absolutely.
Well,
but he did say that he was offering a spell to someone who could learn it, hint, hint, Clarissa, and it might be our only way forwards.
Mm-hmm.
The deal was that in exchange for teaching her the spell so that she could use it, once everything was done and we had the simulacrum, we would give it to him in payment.
We just can't do that, can we?
Well, the question is, why can't he do it himself?
I mean,
if he knows the spell, just, you know, crack it off and go and collect the statue, so to speak.
I mean, bearing in mind that he's kept himself to himself in his funny little moving cathedral, and, I mean, there's every possibility that he can't leave there on this plane?
He is tied to a certain place, is my understanding.
Excellent.
Sorry, I just need to make sure that Marjorie might have thought of that.
The creepy little page still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of why Marjorie is trying to be kind of circumspect. fuck it. We'll just go with she's seen enough weird shit that that makes sense.
We need more time to discuss this, young man.
Very well. I'll return to my master then and let him know you're still deliberating. He turns and walks back down the train.
Excellent. Leaving you. Actually, just uncouple it.
Well.
Tempting as that may be, perhaps not.
You can all make me an intelligence check, actually.
Intelligence?
Passed it.
Intelligence. 60.
Russell Ripley passed. Selena 50. Halved hers.
Ooh,
so fast.
Marjorie fifthed hers on a 02.
Okay. Pretty much everybody realizes then that the train is traveling much faster than it is intended to travel because of the giant monster at the front. Therefore, uncoupling anything is going to have catastrophic effects on the things you uncouple. However, you also remember that you don't remember seeing a proper coupling between the cathedral car and the last few carriages.
I mean, it appears by magic, so, yeah.
So what you're saying is it's all of second class or nothing.
You might be able to do the fourgons, but there's no telling what uncoupling the fourgons and then them basically decelerating exceedingly swiftly might do.
That, and we'd have to be on them to do it.
And we'd be murdering a lot of innocent people.
Potentially not.
Well, if it's just because the fourgons, then the page is gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what do you rate your chances, madam, of double-crossing this man?
Well, you have done it before.
Because that was, a man with a spoon, I seem to remember.
Because if you, well, particularly if you've encountered him before, as your meeting would suggest, why not take the spell, whatever that actually works out to be, and just never hand over the payment? It is what we are here to retrieve, is it not?
Yeah. I'm going to whisper this.
Okay.
To Marjorie.
Let's assume you're whispering. Go ahead.
I saw what he did before. I don't fancy that.
Well, he said he can only act in a certain range.
I give Clarissa a look of, I never did. What the fuck do you mean? But I don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I am expressive, but in radio.
Okay.
Expressive eyebrows.
Anyway,
there's an entire section of the Odyssey which is just Odysseus waggling his eyebrows trying desperately to communicate with his sailors. But his sailors don't get it because they're really stupid, which is also the main lesson of the Odyssey, I think.
What, the sailors are dumb?
What, don't waggle your eyebrows at sailors?
It's a pretty good rule for life.
Because they will open the bag of wind and get you blown back to fuck knows where with fuck knows ship.
The moral we're going with is don't be the only intelligent person in the room, by the way.
So then, Clarissa.
The only intelligent person
in the room. Yeah.
I have an intelligence of 80.
Yeah, but you don't know all the facts.
Yeah, true. There is.
All right, where were we?
Taking the spell and then double crossing the fuck out of this asshole, I believe.
Yeah, it's the asshole bit that worries me.
I think he worries all of us, dear. Yeah? The question is whether or not you can pull it off.
Well,
stop sniggering.
Never.
I'm not, you know, particularly skilled in that area of knowledge.
Well,
so.
He certainly seems to think you're capable. From what I recall of the meeting, he basically only spoke to you.
Because he hasn't met any of you before.
I can honestly say that I'm probably happy that that's the case. My commiseration is him. Something to consider, and by the sounds of it, we don't have much time to. Marjorie's just going to make sure that everyone has at least been medicked as far as they need to be.
Was anybody wounded in the last fight?
Major wound.
Yeah,
can
you've
I
been
do
medicked.
Anything about that?
No, because you've already been medicked and first aided for your major wound.
I think we've all been medicked since.
Yeah, last week.
Sadly, I think you're all on maximum of whatever you can do.
Yeah.
Marjorie is very much of the opinion that she has been sent here to make sure that people stay alive and to keep things moving.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, she's basically gone, right, have I poked the person in charge? Yes. Has everyone been medicated? Yes. Stand by, question mark?
Did anyone see where Elena Cassandra went?
No.
No, we do need to try and find her.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Did Ludovic see where he went?
You can ask.
We sent him to the saloon car to get coffee, remember?
So we did. Because she was in the room, and then we're all in the corridor, aren't we? So...
You are now.
How about we look for this person?
Is she still in the room?
No.
Okay. But presumably she didn't come past us, so she's gone...
Up train. So the foregone would be a good guess.
She could have gone up train, yeah?
Or her room.
No, because
she was
in
her
room.
Yeah.
That's also Selena's room.
Yeah.
Ah.
But I thought she left before you lot did.
Hmm?
I thought she left because I thought you saw her in her room.
We saw her in that room.
Marjorie and Russell did.
Ah, right.
Woke her up.
We didn't know who she was.
I woke her up, got her, I looked at her head to check her concussion. Made sure that she understood she needed to go and stay awake.
And then you lot went off train.
And she gave me a funny look and then sort of wandered off in the direction of the saloon car to meet with other people.
So she's gone down train.
She went that way, okay, because we've not left, I don't think.
No, she went down train then.
Okay, in which case.
That's why I was getting confused. Cause...
That's fine.
So we went to see. Bloody and I went to see, encountered Costanza. She went down towards the saloon. We then met up and got Ludovic and made him aware he'd been drugged. He went to the saloon to get coffee that he could see being prepared. And then everything else happened.
I'm going to go in the direction of the saloon right now.
Okay. Anybody else doing anything?
I would be following the group.
I would assume that we've explained about I would have seen this before, but anyway, that we explain about the code words that we've agreed with.
Yep, you can do that.
Yeah.
On your way. Okay.
So,
it's the right direction anyway.
So you head into the saloon car. Something you notice immediately. Ramahotep is not there, but his book is.
He was there earlier. That's weird. Is there anyone else in there?
There's the staff who are looking a bit confused and worried. The Count de Brucey, who is getting steadily drunker. Danzel Zulvik's not there.
Is Ludovic there?
No.
Okay.
Did you go back into your cabin?
Yeah, I went into mine.
this whole conversation was in the corridor then. In which case, Ludovic goes past you as you're going into the saloon car to head back to his seat.
Okay. Right.
I make sure he's okay on the way past.
He's still a bit groggy, obviously, but yeah, he's not bad.
He's looking better.
Yeah.
I hope. Good.
So there's the drunk man and some worried looking staff.
Yeah.
Okay, so gonna go bother the worried looking staff. What's happening? Do you know where they
are? The train, it seems to be... I don't know. I'm sure everything's fine. I'm sure everything's fine. The chef de brigade says everything's fine. It's fine.
Do you know where they went?
Mr. Zorbik headed back to the cabin. I think Mr. Hotep went down train.
Why?
He was looking out of the window and suddenly said, "Oh," and then headed down train.
Have you seen Elena Costanza?
She did come through. I don't know where she's gone.
Did she go down train as
well? She was heading in that direction.
Thank you. Going that way.
Hello, Errol.
Okay. Anybody else doing? Or
what
are you
world
all going?
Is this where people are following Errol?
I know.
Yeah. Terrible idea.
I will give the distressed person a sort of kind of sharp look on the way past, sort of like, "Are you going to get ill on me?" And then walk on.
I mean, at this point, they've basically just been accosted by this slightly greasy-looking teenage boy with a bird on his shoulder and some sort of terrified glint in his eye, who's probably twitching like a weirdo.
And the bloke. Are you carrying your massive rifle?
No, I was carrying my revolver, which I'm not openly carrying.
Yeah, but you look like an adventurer still.
Yeah, I look like Sean Bean.
And some of you are covered in blood.
Bean. Yeah, there is that.
And the medical professional has got, you know, the full get-up and bright orange hair.
Yep.
Yeah, go in that
so,
way.
So, just sort of hustling down the train, give him a look, down the train.
Errol and everybody is starting to leave. Could everyone make me a listen check, please?
A Harvard.
No from Russell. A no from Selena. And a half from Marjorie.
So, half was the best. You hear nothing. Okay, so you head down train. You pass through the first second class. The chef de brigade.
We're checking all the bathrooms on the way.
When do you start doing that?
Well, because we found Macro hiding the bathroom before.
Yeah.
So pretty much as soon as we get through the saloon.
Okay, so once you get through the saloon.
Yeah.
Is there a bathroom in the saloon?
There's two. One at either end.
Well, we'll check the one that we're walking past then.
Yeah, the one we're locked. Walking past at the end. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The one at the end of the saloon is locked.
Is it the door visible from inside the saloon?
No.
I'm going to put my head up against it and listen carefully.
What did you roll on your listen check?
I failed mine.
Okay. Make me another one.
Okay. Failed.
No, I can't hear anything over the train. The train's quite loud at the moment because it's going twice the speed it should be going.
I sort of look sort of frustrated and just sort of move off.
Knock on the door.
Okay. You knock on the door. Nobody responds.
Suspicious. If someone knocks on the door and you're in the bathroom, do you answer?
You usually say go away, occupied.
Especially if it's a fucking train bathroom.
Is it occupied?
Well, they knock from the inside.
A voice comes from inside. Lid? It's Elena Constanda.
Well, doesn't know the code words, does he?
Yeah.
Is that the right everybody's just been told.
This, lavender. This was explained.
Lavender.
Lavender soap.
Gives Marjorie a look.
I thought you were supposed to say that bit.
It was a call and response.
Oh, I thought you said. I thought it was the other way around.
It's supposed to be lavender soap, and then you respond with it. But
yeah,
it's a call and response.
Marjorie is just pissed off at this point.
What do you want?
What else can we ask her?
So, oh, currently, just to give you a visual of what's going on, there's five of you talking to a closed and locked toilet door that's just said lid to you. So yeah, there's five of you talking to a toilet door.
At this point, we look like the fucking Scooby Gang.
Yes, but which one of you is the slightly competent dog?
I don't know. Terrified to find out.
Slightly competent, are you sure?
Right, Raggy.
Yeah, you're slightly competent.
Okay.
Occasionally, Errol's useful.
Okay. Do you feel like... Do you feel like you?
Can I psychology that? I don't know.
Yeah, if you want. Yes, I feel like me. Was that 90-something? What was the second number?
3.
Okay, so it's not a 99 then.
Marjorie, just pointed out you have 60 in psychology.
I was going to say, if psychology is an option, I have that. I was afraid it was going to be psychoanalysis, which I did.
No, psychology is the one you need for determining what people will say to you is true or not. Go ahead.
Well, in that case, 60%.
Yeah, Marjorie fifthed that on another 02. I should be running one of those today.
As you might have noticed from the way she's talking, Elena Constanza is very nervous to hear five people outside her toilet door interrogating her and asking each other, is there anything else we can ask her?
Okay, that's fine then.
Really? After all that, you're going to just... No? Okay,
continue fine. The word! Can't we just move on?
Yes.
Right.
So, are you heading down train towards the cathedral?
Unless he made her tell him, in which case I don't know what we can ask her that she won't
come
really
on,
know.
Errol.
Yeah, we're heading down.
Are you having that conversation while you're walking?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so you pass through second class first. Relatively easily. You pass through second class second, relatively easily. You pass through second class third, relatively easily. And then you come to the door of the fourgon, and there's a guard there. He's standing to attention with a shotgun across his chest. Ah, hello. Are you here to see the prince?
Yes.
Ah, excellent. He's expecting you. And he steps smartly to the side and slopes his arms like a soldier on guard. Please, go through.
Weird.
He then goes back to his guard position. Clarissa. Sorry?
I motion Clarissa, sort of like, well, you're in charge here. Yeah, let's go.
You move through the fourgon, and at the end of this fourgon, you find another guard who does pretty much the same thing. And then there's a guard in the other fourgon as well. And then you get to the door to the cathedral car, and there is two guards there, standing there to attention, and they just go right in. He's expecting you.
Do these all look like train guards?
Yeah, they're train guards, with their shotguns.
What do you recruit all the train guards?
Who knows?
I want that power.
Well, maybe you can get it. That's the point. Are you actually going into the cathedral car then?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm going to see where Selena is at the in the.
Selena, where are you currently?
In the kind of order of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've had
we're
answers.
Available?
I've had answers from Selena. Selena refuses to enter the cathedral car. Unfortunately, Il Porcupino's internet has died and we're waiting for her to come back, but she sent me a message saying she refuses to enter the cathedral car. So she stays in the fourgon.
Right, okay.
So are the rest of you going in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You head into the cathedral car and find an interesting sort of tableau going on. The page is in one corner looking a bit scared. He's got a bit of a black eye. The Jigsaw Prince is sat on his throne again, and he seems to be in conversation with Rama Hotep.
Oh, that's where he went. Excellent.
So you're saying you have some kind of dream world, is that not your... I'm afraid we will have to continue our conversation a little later, Mr. Hotep. Oh, no, that is absolutely fine. These people are great people. So, you've returned, finally.
He stretches and all of the seams in his body sort of stretch and bend.
So then, do we have a deal?
No, we have some questions. Yes, I know.
Go ahead.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, it is, and it's not me who's melting into nothingness.
Yes, okay, we have a sweat problem.
Well, you do. He's got a necrotic flesh all across his chest problem. I can see it from here.
Well, stop looking. Personally, I just wanted to know why you couldn't do this thing yourself.
Because I've got you to do it. You need to do it. So why should I put myself in any danger when you have to do it? And you're going to try and do it anyway, but I can help it be more successful, so I profit from it, and you profit from it. I mean, that seems like common sense to me.
I saw psychology him.
I need to check his stats, actually.
That's a half.
So his fast talk is above 50, so you would have needed a half. He's not telling you everything, but his...
He does have a point.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. His point is valid, but at the same time, you get the impression there's some reason why he doesn't really want to be going about doing this on his own. He probably could do it, but he kind of would prefer to use you lot to do it. He does seem to be actually offering you something that he thinks is going to help you. But, he's getting you to do it because he very much doesn't really want to.
And what would this actually involve? You said it was a magic spell?
Yes, it's a small magical spell. Assuming you are of moderate intelligence, I should be able to teach it to any or all of you. I'm unwilling to give too many details until we have an accord, as you might imagine. But it is a spell that my good friend Salim Makriat kept in his own personal arsenal to keep, shall we say, brothers who might step out of line in check. Brothers of the skin, obviously.
Obviously.
It's by far and away your best option for dealing with his wayward son, as it were. I have to admit that I would not be completely averse to learning these magics myself. Unfortunately, Mr. Hotet, this is not something that I'm just going to teach to anyone. Very sorry, I'm sure you understand. This is part of a deal I have with these people, or hopefully have with these people. Oh no, I entirely understand the need to keep knowledge to oneself when it is necessary. So then, do we have a deal? I provide you with the magic that you need. You use it to defeat Mehmet, and then when the Sedefkar becomes obvious, we deal with your little problem, and I take it.
And how do we deal with the problem?
I assume that Mehmet has got the scrolls that he requires to prevent his own corruption. I mean, he also would be suffering from the corruption. It's just he has slightly longer because he has the Sedefkar and is sort of wearing it and also not wearing it. You know how it works.
Sadly, yes.
This Sedefkar you're speaking of. I'm very sorry, Mr. Hotet, but I'm going to have to ask you to step aside for a moment. Oh, that is absolutely not a problem. I quite understand. Good day to you all. I will be just outside if you need me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes,
He waits until Ramahotep leaves.
Good grief.
So, as we were saying, are we going to make a deal? I mean, I've been very forward about what I wish to achieve, and why I wish to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, have you ever read a book called The Devil's Simular?
I believe so.
Mm. So, you're aware that the Crusaders who were not wielding the Serpent's Claw found it very difficult to wound Sir Defkar while he was wearing the simulacrum, yes?
Yes, he was actually wearing it, though, because they had to take it off with the knife.
Yes, but at the same time, I suspect he would gain the same effect. So I suspect Mehmet is going to, well, find it very easy to deal with more mundane weapons. Unless you've got the Serpent's Claw just lying around.
Sadly not anymore.
He raises an eyebrow at that. Maybe we can speak about that later on. Not really. We fucking crushed it.
Yeah.
So I think you will find that my method of dealing with him is going to be far preferable to your own more mundane methods.
One second. Mm-hmm. I'll turn to the others.
No, you can step outside if you wish. If you don't wish me to overhear your little discussions. But do please don't wander off. I would like to either make a deal or know we are not making a deal as soon as possible.
Well, we'll go to the door, but I don't want to go outside because that will...
involve Selena.
Selena might get riled up again.
You're in that private alcove between the two sets of doors.
Right, okay.
So...
Goodness, is we have much choice?
We don't really know.
We don't even know who he is if he's not her. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't him all along. Maybe it was someone else to start with. And it's one of the other people we've not even looked at yet. And that was just one of the other cultists doing things.
Okay,
Errol.
Yes. Yeah, just calm down, lad.
Yes, I don't think we have much choice.
No, we'll probably have to go for it then.
Mm. We might just have to kill everyone.
Leave that as a, you know, plan a few down the list, shall we?
Yes. Anyway, so who's going to learn it then?
He said we, lots of us could.
And we could all learn it if you want.
It might be easier. You never know who's going to be incapacitated for some reason.
Okay. Oh dear.
Right, and so...
Marjorie, are you in agreement?
Perhaps I should not learn, just in case it has adverse effects and you require my assistance.
Fair enough. That's three people. Still pretty good.
Well, adverse effects. Can it get any worse? I'm not sure.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, we'll find out after learning it, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So you go back into the room. The jigsaw prince is busy just dropping, and this is for the esoteric order of role players, a sweet meat into his mouth and chewing with a sort of... So, you're back.
Yes.
Do we have an accord, finally?
Yes.
Excellent. So, the agreement is as follows. I will teach you a magical spell with which you can defeat your enemy, and then, once you've defeated him, I get... the Sedefkar Simulacrum.
And the ritual thing first. Where
yes. We can deal with your corruption.
Yes.
No, actually, I don't believe you are corrupted.
Well, no, I wanted to make sure you didn't try to sneak anything there.
Honestly, if you pick up the Sedefkar Simulacrum, you'll have the same problem as the others anyway. But anyway, so, in that case, excellent.
My good friend Salim taught me this to defend myself should he ever lose control. So, now, if you all follow me, he sort of stands up and he starts teaching you a spell. And it turns out the spell is actually pretty easy. It's two elaborate hand gestures and a three-syllable word. But you have to get the hand gestures perfect. So could everybody who's trying to learn the spell give me an intelligence check?
Right.
Yes! I pass it.
Russell halved.
I don't believe Marjorie's trying to learn it.
Oh, Marjorie's not trying to learn it, yeah.
Okay. So, it's basically everybody passes then, yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have all learned the spell Detransference.
Where does this go?
Under spells. I think it's on the back page.
I don't have space for that.
You should have.
No, I mean, there's a section called Arcane Tome Spells and Artifacts, and I've got a whole bit about his tomes, none of which are actually real. There's no space to write actual spells. What was it called, sorry?
Detransference.
I'm going to put in Gear and Possessions.
So, basically, you cast a spell which takes one round at a target. You have to pair your power against them. And then if they have used the spell Transfer Organs, then they lose those organs.
Ouch.
And as you might imagine, the Brothers of the Skin make use of the spell Transfer Organs pretty fucking regularly.
So what's this bay audio roll?
It will be testing your power against theirs.
Oh, power, okay.
Which might still make it a little bit difficult.
God, if only Selena was learning it.
Yeah, I know.
Well.
No, I don't think. She wouldn't even go in the room. I don't think she's going to learn a spell from him.
Well, there's nothing to say that you can't teach her a spell.
Ooh, good point.
Because you have now learned a spell.
Ooh, if that doesn't. If that's a spell, it's not going to hurt normal people, so we could just use it on everyone. And
well, unless yes. They've used the spell Transfer Organs, then yes, you'll be fine.
If they have, that's fine.
Indeed.
Because
they'll probably be a member of the Brotherhood of the Skin.
Yes.
I myself have avoided such with my immaculate body. He runs a hand up and down the seams of sewing all across his body.
So that, no, I'm not going to ask
that. Oh, you could cast that spell on me and nothing would happen.
What spell did you use?
Wouldn't you like to know?
No, we wouldn't.
Just take the no, lad.
So anyway, I'm sure you're interested in getting your part of the problem dealt with.
Right. Off we go.
So, just before we go.
Ah, of course. Now that we're in business, I'm quite happy to speak with you at any length.
Remember when we last met?
Yes, I do.
How do you reverse what you did?
It just heals normally. It takes a long while, if I'm perfectly honest.
Oh, I know. You didn't think it would work as well as it did.
I very definitely did not expect it to do as much damage to her as I was in as it did. I was just intending to scare you. And usually that spell is effective for as a sort of terror tactic.
I see.
But yes, on that day I was just obviously magically empowered. Well, sometimes these things happen.
Right.
But yes, I'm sure your friend, assuming she's still alive, will eventually heal. She might be left with a little bit of a handprint, but all those of us of magical practitioning always end up with some mark upon us. He again fingers a seam of sewing.
Ugh.
I'm sure if you continue your magical endeavours, you will all experience something similar. I myself had to completely replace this quadrant of my body. He rubs his upper right chest vaguely seductively after a particularly difficult magical duel. He stops for a moment and starts fingering his nipples.
Jesus Christ. Can we leave now, please?
So, if you would care to... he's the new Carruthers. If you'd care to go and deal with our little Macriat problem, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Do you have any idea who he is?
No.
You can't work that out with magic. You don't know. Your powers aren't enough.
He gives you a look.
Yeah, Russell is looking at Errol as well now, like, he cries. Shut up.
Marjorie's giving him a look of, has he finally broke? Do I need to intervene?
Let me have a little think. Let me look at my book of spells.
The GM pulls out the entire rule book.
No, I pulled out the entire grimoire.
He's got a book just for spells.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with goading the kind of bad guy into seeing if he can tell us more useful information.
Give me a second. I'm going to just look at something.
Committing suicide by major NPC is probably not a good plan.
I've already tried to do it once.
I mean, it's entirely character for the campaign, but not a great plan?
No, unfortunately I can't find Mehmet Macriat through magical means. I could melt your flesh from your bones if you like.
That won't help, but it's okay, thanks.
Of course. Well, if you decide to avail yourself of that, just come and ask. He looks at Clarissa with a, I'm sorry, but what sort of look? Because he's actually confused at that one. I look forward to seeing you all later.
Leave.
Okay, you leave. As you step out of the door, Selena's there, obviously, but also Ramahotep.
I wonder if we could just, maybe have a little conversation once we, leave this foregone.
She looks at her wrist. We are a bit pushed for time, but,
Yes, he glances at the two guards. I think it might be worthwhile. He walks with you as you're walking out of the foreground, and when you get out into the third class thing, he turns around and goes, that man is incredibly dangerous.
Yes, I know.
Also, he seems to have done something to those guards.
Yes, yes.
Something of a magical nature, I would assume. I'm going to stay here and attempt to break his control of them. Well, I am of the opinion that this man is a dangerous man, and I don't wish him to have four gentlemen with shotguns under his control. Five gentlemen with shotguns under his control, even.
Okay, I'm trying to keep him busy and, like, giving other people a look, like...
Yeah, can we cast the spell on him?
Do you want to?
Yes.
Okay, then.
So, you cast the spell on Ramahotep.
We used to fight everyone. Obviously, it's the best way we've got to find out.
That's fair.
So long as your power is good enough against his power.
Yeah, I'm suspecting Ramahotep's going to be really good. So.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's not going to go well.
Give me a second. Okay, so, make me a power check.
No.
Are you looking it?
I can't afford that much.
Do you want to try and push it? Bear in mind, pushing magic can end really badly.
How badly?
Well, let me just look in the grimoire.
I'm assuming that actually exploding by accident is entirely possible.
I think with this spell, less exploding, more collapsing into a pile of meat.
Accidentally transferring all of your organs to someone nearby.
Quite possibly.
It's not going to be that bad.
I needed those two new kidneys.
Will be bad, though.
Good luck with the rejection, mate.
More kidneys are just greedy.
I tell you, right. So, You're trying to beat his pal, which actually, weirdly, in this, because it's 7th edition, means I work out what his pal is, and that works out whether you need to half or fifth it. I will tell you, you need to get a half.
Yeah.
However, it might be worth doing. Let me just check the rules on deeper magic. I've not actually had to use any of the magic rules this entire campaign, practically, so...
had to cast a spell at Sadie.
Yeah, but I've not had to deal with it. It was literal years ago as well.
Yeah, it's true. It's only a few weeks.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Weirdly, their opposed power check is different. So you failed.
Yeah.
Right? So I need to make a power check for him. If he crit fails, then you're still going to succeed. He does not crit fail. So he gets a normal success, you get a fail.
Yeah.
I will allow you to push it. However, if you choose to push this spell, if you fail, you will still pay the cost of the spell, and it will be doubled.
What's the cost?
You don't know.
I don't know. Okay, then. Bronze Raquel's not that great.
What is it?
50.
Okay.
So it's 50-50.
Yeah, and how much luck have you got?
You can't spend luck on push rolls.
Oh, no, you can't.
So it's literally 50-50.
Yeah. So effectively, it becomes a 75% chance overall because you've had a 50-50 previous as well. Oops.
Hang on. Didn't you say he needed, Errol needed to halve it?
No, because weirdly, opposed rolls for spells, not opposed rolls for anything else, work on a different system.
Okay, so Errol's acting crazy enough right now.
Okay.
Why not try and kill another character?
May not kill him.
Pass it.
Okay, so you passed.
Pass.
And he passed.
Yes.
So, what did you get?
32.
I'm going to fudge this a bit, because technically the person with the higher pal should win, and I think that's him, but probably. It's a pushed roll. I'm going to allow it, because...
Yay!
So, you cast a spell on Ramahotep. Good news. Nothing happens. Bad news. You lose 10 magic points and 10 points of pow.
10 magic... What? How many...
Magic points come back once you sleep, but power doesn't.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that one. Okay.
So you actually permanently lose 10 points off your pal.
Okay. How many magic points do I start with?
It's equal to 1/5 of your pal. So,
okay. So I lose all my magic points.
Oh, you're asleep.
Because I only had 10 to start with.
Let me just look up 0 magic points.
Oh, dear.
Errol in a coma, no, it's really serious. couldn't resist.
0 magic points. Here's magic points in this bloody
thing. I only got 9.
Well, you can't actually cast the spell then.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, my power's only 45 anyway, so never
mind.
I can try and do it and fail dismally.
Well, so, yeah, it won't work for you.
Okay. What's your power? Oh, I've got power 65. Okay. So we've got one person who can actually cast the spell still.
Great!
That's nice. Because I can't cast it anymore.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
Well, you can after a sleepy.
No, because
we're not exactly doing a lot of sleeping.
My magic point maximum is now 8.
Oh, because yes,
my power's dropped by so much. How to prop
up? Oh, no. Oh, actually, no, it's worse than that.
What?
So, you can still cast the spell.
Okay, that's good.
It's just you'll take the damage on your hit points, not your magic points.
Okay.
You are still conscious, though. So, you cast the spell on Ramahotep. Nothing happens. He doesn't scream, he doesn't flail about, he doesn't explode or anything, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You feel... utterly exhausted, and the rest of you... You know how if you look at a person and then the next day they go without drinking and you look at the same person, that's pretty much the progression Errol does in the matter of 5 seconds.
Okay.
Ramahotep turns around and looks at you. And he's like,
I'm not exactly sure what you just tried to do.
It's okay. You're okay. It's good.
I see. Fine. Let me just explain to you. If you ever cast magic at me again, I will gut you.
It's okay. It wouldn't have done anything unless you were one of the bad people.
That is not the point.
It's okay, I know you're not now. We should have a password.
What?
A code word. So
you get the impression he's a bit hostile to you now.
Let's move this along, shall we?
Okay, but how about this? How about I say fucking Englishman and you go, yes, that's me. There we go.
What do I say?
You say, yes, that's me.
So if I say that, you'll say fucking Englishman.
No, if I say fucking Englishman, you say, yes, that's me.
But what if I want you to say fucking Englishman?
Oh, for the love of fucking God, lad, stop talking now, please.
You just say, yes, that's me, and I will call you a fucking Englishman.
There are bad people there.
There are. Now, please go the fuck away from me, because I am very angry with you.
You've not seen Ramahotep anything other than pretty much serene. He was just talking about breaking these guys out of mental control, and he was like, oh yes, I'm just going to stay here and try. You cast magic at him and he's proper fucking angry. On a bonus point, you know it's not him. But you've upset Ramahotep.
Yeah.
Because I'm bad now.
Who was that? Who's friends with my dad?
Yes, he was. And you fucked him right off, casting magic at him.
I think there's also an operative term in that phrase. Was.
Well, yes, because his dad exploded.
We couldn't have asked, because if he'd been one of the bad people, then that wouldn't have been a good thing.
No. But yeah, Ramahotep heads back into the foregone, sort of stompily, leaving the rest of you there.
Oh dear, those guards are so...
You might want to explain how bad that felt.
We shouldn't do that to everyone. It's... I want to sit down now, please. Maybe a lot.
Well, how are we supposed to work out who it is, then?
Don't know.
Well, how have we worked it out before?
Well, obviously we didn't, did we?
Well...
I'm assuming it only affects one person.
It does, unfortunately.
You can't do a whole carriage.
No, it's one at a time.
By the looks of it, expensive in personal terms. Let's get you somewhere to sit down.
Yeah, you can head back up train. Do you want to go to the saloon car or one of your cabins?
I would suggest a cabin, because Errol looks like he's about to just fade out.
Yeah.
Okay. You head up the train then. And you're heading to the cabin. You go through the saloon. Danton Zorbik's still not there. The Count of Brucey is now roaring drunk. He's like leaning on the bar going, I didn't know yes, but Brandy slaps his hand on the thing, and the people at the bar are like, okay. Okay, we're just being assaulted by drying racks. But yeah, he just seems to be really fucking drunk. Like, unbelievably drunk. As you're heading towards the end, Signor Martinelli comes in. Ah, bonjour. I've been having a sleep. Is it me, or is the train travelling much faster than it should be? Martinelli does not agree with this rocking and bumping. Well, do you know where the shift of Bugatti is?
I think he may have a few things to deal with right now.
Well, I will see if I can find him. And he heads off down train. I'm going to go. You go to Clarissa's room because she's all right. Okay. So you go into Clarissa's room. You're all there.
I want to lie down.
bed.
Yeah, that's fine. You can lay down. Okay. Yeah, you feel drained.
They've relapsed into silence, listeners.
Don't know what to do.
Well, as far as Marjorie is concerned, this looks like adverse effects to me, and promptly tries to make sure that Errol is okay, but probably gets to assume that it's just, you're going to have to rest that one off, mate.
You examine him. I'm not going to make you roll. It looks like nervous exhaustion, but, like, that came on within 5 seconds, so that's a bit weird.
I mean, he didn't sleep the whole of the night before because he was too twitchy. He's probably near that state to start with.
Actually, Marjorie, if this was a more normal situation, you'd be dosing him with something to send him to sleep.
Ew, Errol, you need sleep.
I can't sleep, they'll kill me.
I'm not sure how much longer you're going to stay conscious, whether you like it or not. For now, stay sitting down.
Well, he's lying on the bed at the moment. He's lying on your bed, I should say. That.
Well then, soon.
Chris, he's changing in your bed. Mine's a sweaty bed.
Oh, yes, it is, isn't it? It's a very sweaty bed. So the greasy teenager's lying on a slightly damp bed.
It's all right, he's on top of the covers and he can turn the pillow over.
Yeah, that's fair. So then, what are you doing?
No, I've no idea.
Well, I think we've just found out that spell is very draining and we should wait until we have the target in sight, I guess would be the phrase, before attempting to use it.
You should kind of work out who it is.
Well, we can cross out Ramahotep.
Yes, because you've done him. So at this moment, unless he gets gotten, he is not.
But we know, so we've got code words.
Yes.
Yes.
Fucking Englishman.
Yeah. So we've got Danton's orbit.
Yes. Who you haven't seen in a little while.
No. He's in a cabin on his own, I think.
He is.
We've got
Elena Constanza.
Elena Constanza. But she knew the code, so unless this
make me an intelligence check.
Unless he made her tell him the code. Could have been overheard. Yeah, pass it.
She give you the wrong end of the code, and according to Chester, Margrave had her in that toilet for a while. It's possible he made her tell her the code, and she told him the wrong bit in the hopes that you'd catch him. It's not an entirely mad idea.
I mean, unless it is him, and we need to test them now we've got the spell. But I could try. I'm very tired. It's not fair.
I'm just going to check something.
I know a magic thing and now I'm tired and everyone hates me. All awful.
So Errol's having a sulk.
Oh, yeah. Why was Elena Constanza?
Ooh. Okay. Why was Elena Constanza? Go on.
In the toilet in the saloon. Maybe she needs the toilet.
You hear two sounds outside in the corridor and that sounds quite a lot like Elena Constanza.
I'm going to open the door.
Okay, so Ludovic is completely asleep.
Right.
Elena Constanza has just dived to the ground just in front of Danton Zorbik's door. And is bleeding from the shoulder.
From, can we see the shooter?
No. Not at this point. You can't. Hang on, am I telling you wrong? No, I'm telling you right.
So she's in the corridor?
Yeah. She sort of scrabbles away, because she hasn't noticed you, she's too busy looking at the door. She sort of scrabbles away. And you hear steps going towards Danton Zorbik's door, and she's like, leaps to her feet, turns to go down the corridor, sees you, and goes, He just shot at me and then rushes past you towards her room and jumps into her room. Danson Zorbig, meanwhile, throws his door open and looks outside with a pistol. You. Was it you? He's pointing a gun at you now.
What was me?
Somebody just tried to make their way into my room.
No, I'm still in my room.
He looks up and down. I got them through the door.
Why are you shooting someone? I'm kind of just leaning out of the room.
They tried to unlock my door.
Well, why are you...
People have been murdered, do you not know? People are being murdered all over this train. I've decided to hole up inside my room and somebody tried to unlock my door.
Have you heard anything apart from that?
I heard Ludovic talking to somebody just before.
Because...
Ludovic! He keeps the gun pointing at you and walks over to Ludovic and sort of slaps him in the face. Ludovic just goes, I think they drugged Ludovic. Stay back, you! I'm going back in my room. If anybody tries to open this door, I will shoot them through it. He steps back into the room and you hear... Followed by kadunk, as if he's putting like big trunks up against the door.
Okay, great. You need to test her. You need to test her. She being weird. Well, that narrows it down, doesn't it?
She's being weird, says Errol.
Yeah, who's currently possibly leaning on the door frame.
Mm-hmm.
Did Selena go back to her room, or was she?
Because the ill Porcupino hasn't come back, we're going to say that Selena is exhausted and has stayed in your room for the moment.
Right, okay. Well, Marjorie.
Does someone need my assistance?
Right.
Because I was in the room. You were the one who went to the door and started looking out.
Elena Constanza has been shot.
Oh, good grief. How did that happen?
Well, let me think. Ludovic has been drugged again. I mean, honestly.
Ludovic has been drugged again.
I mean, falling for it twice. Come on. But we need to test Elena, or she does like the spell.
Magical shit hand motion. Yes.
I see. Are you proposing to do this? Errol certainly won't be able to.
That's what she's proposing.
No, so you have to tend to the wound, and I'll whack my hands about.
I see. Well, yes, let's get underway.
Okay. So, who's going? Are you bringing him as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bloodied is going too. Bloodied has stepped out of the room, but he's being dragged along. Marjorie and Clarissa are going. Is Errol going?
I think he's going to be henpecked along.
Okay.
He'll probably be sort of awkwardly leaning against a door frame.
Fair enough. Okay, so you all go to Elena Constanda's door and it's locked. Let's just wait while Bloody gets back in.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So, they were discussing who it might be, and they were like, well, it could still be Elena Constanza because she gets the wrong side of the call sign, and he did have her in that toilet for a little while, so okay. He could have forced her to tell him. And then they were like, what's that noise? Because there was two short bangs outside, and then a lady scream, and... Elena was on the floor and has been shot in the shoulder, but then rushed off to her room as Danton Zorbik came out, going, who tried to get in my room? Who tried to get in my room? Ah, I shot them. Huh, Ludovic's been drugged again. Don't come in my room, and locked his door again.
Right.
And they've just come up with a plan to go and tend to Elena Constanza's wound and incidentally also do a magic spell on her at the same time.
Okay.
By the time we find him, none of us are going to have any magic left. No.
I'm trying to work out if the spell still costs if it fails. Bear with me. I'm going to do that.
Because I can only do this once.
I technically can't even re-tend to do it. Except, well, I can do it, but I'll just hurt myself.
Yeah.
In the process of doing it.
Oh, I found the thing
I found the thing that happens if you push a spell and fail now.
Oh dear.
Jesus. You know I said it was going to be doubled?
Yeah.
No, it's multiplied by 1d6.
Fuck.
And then another thing happens as well. It's bad.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that again. I mean, I can't do that again.
No,
but
you can't.
I'm not going to do that again.
Pushing a magic spell and it going wrong is bad. I'm not certain. Untimed opposed power rolls again. There we go. I think you still have to pay for it, unfortunately.
Club times.
Yeah.
How do actual wizards do it?
Ah, well, they've got no sanity points, so...
So does that mean they have endless power? Is that a thing?
No, but it means they can become a believer, which has certain benefits, but means you've got no sanity.
I need to do that.
No, you don't. Right, so yes, you will still have to pay for the spell if it fails. So then, you're all outside Elena Constanza's room, which is locked.
Doesn't Selina have the key?
Yes, she does. You can go back and get the key off Selina, and then come back to the door. So you're just outside Elena Constanza's room again, but this time with a key. What are you doing?
I'm going to listen at the door.
Okay. You can hear somebody moving about inside. Sounds like they're opening a suitcase of some description. Okay, you unlock the door, and Elena Constanza turns and looks. She seems to be getting, like, a white handkerchief out of her suitcase and putting it to her shoulder. Her shoulder's a little bit red.
Is it less blood than you'd expect?
Make me a medicine check.
This is Marjorie wants to look as well.
Marjorie would definitely be looking at this, but currently doesn't have access
she
to it.
She didn't see the gun, though, so make a medicine check for Marjorie.
Okay. She fifth that.
Okay. Brief. There doesn't seem to be a lot of blood, especially given she was hit, like, she was hit sort of... It sort of glanced at sort of the flesh of the arm, but it's not a flesh wound. It hit her sort of dead centre of the arm, so you'd expect it to be bleeding quite a lot. But maybe it was a very small calibre gun, like a Derringer or something.
I sort of bustle past Clarissa,
mm-hmm.
You know, full-on professional medic.
Who's this? Who's this? I don't know this person.
You saw me earlier?
Yes, but I don't know who you are.
Marjorie.
I'm going to look at your wounds now. I get to...
She reaches down behind her and just sort of starts going for something in her bag. Is anyone doing anything?
I will be opening my medical bag and making it obvious that I'm doing first aid.
Okay, she pulls a gun on Marjorie. Now look, I don't know who you are.
She's
I hold up the first aid kit.
Look, I'll be fine. It's only a little wood. It'll be fine.
I'm going to do the spell if no one's going to
okay.
do anything else.
At this point then, you make a power check. And so do I. You want to do well here?
I pass.
Are you spending any luck?
I rolled 65 and I've got a power of 65.
Are you going to push? Because currently it's not going to work. Bearing in mind that pushing is bad if you fail.
Did you work out whether you still pay the cost if the spell fails?
Yes, you do.
Which is what?
It's a certain amount of magic points and a certain amount of power. 10 and 10, basically. But in that, he also does the spell.
Yeah, but he doesn't have enough magic points to actually do it without hurting himself. So he could hurt himself in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. And there's much less chance of succeeding because his power's only 45.
It does mean if he succeeds, he can spend less luck to half.
True. There is that. But this is probably the time I rely on. Well, but yes, I mean, well, yeah. I mean, if it doesn't work with,
we need Selena to learn this spell.
It's up to you. Do you want to just let it fail? At which point it will cost you, but it won't cost you massive amounts. Like if you push it and fail. Hang on, I just need to check the post roll. I think it is the person with the higher pow wins.
I thought Rosalina's not going to do it because it's who it's from.
Because
she didn't want anything to do with it.
Which is fair.
You know what? Tim would have been great at it. His power was stupid.
Okay. Yeah, he's still drawn at the moment. So, what would you like to do? Do you want to push? Do you want to look? Do you even have enough luck to look it?
Mm-hmm.
Depends. Do you think it's worth it?
I don't really have a lot of choice.
No, because it's gonna cost you anyway.
Yeah, so I might as well do something.
Mm-hmm. How much luck do you spend to get to half? Which is 32, 33?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you start casting the magical spell. And instantly you feel exactly what Errol described. A sudden massive lethargy, almost as if someone has dropped a massive rock onto your shoulders, like weighing you down. You've not felt like this since, well, Dr. Jesus was holding you aloft by your throat. You lose 10 points of magic and 10 points of pow. And then another weight hits you as about 14 pounds of rotten flesh appears in your hands. It looks like lungs and livers and other things that you can't quite describe just appear in your hands in front of you. Elena Constanza, meanwhile, goes and collapses to the floor and then starts squidging, melting into not a lot. Could you make me a sanity check, please?
Yes.
You haven't ever been a doctor or a nurse, have you?
No.
Okay. You lose a whole 2 sanity points from tearing Macriat's enchanted flesh out of his body. The body of Elena Constanza falls to the ground.
I'm assuming I just saw that as well.
Yeah, no, you did. Okay. Pretty much everybody did. The skin sort of remains, but the flesh inside just falls to bits. The room goes quiet.
Bloody hell.
She sort of deflates.
Yeah. There's a quiet. There's an unpleasant sort of sickly sweet smell. It certainly seems to have worked.
I think it was her.
You don't say.
It was her. It certainly looks like it was.
Puts away the first aid kit and goes, I don't think I'll be needing that anymore.
No.
Close bag. Step out of the room.
Lock room behind you. Never to speak of it again. Yeah. No, it certainly works. You, whoever that was. And you're very certain, because most of the brothers at the skin have maybe one or two organs. You ended up with 14 pounds of meat in your arms. That probably denotes somebody pretty high ranked. So
I'm going to look around the door and go, we should probably get out of there and lock it behind us.
Can someone, you know, maybe look through the suitcase or something?
Okay, I'll look through the suitcase.
Okay. You look through the suitcases. You do find a small stack of telegrams from various places, most of which are just along the lines of agreed or we will meet you there or have procured enough components for both of us to perform the action. I would suggest you do not join us at the front. And another reply with Giacomo the knife will remain on the platform to see if you have been spotted. Suggest I take your place in the Englishman. Oh, yes, you would find another one as well. No, it's a note. It's not a telegram. You do find a note. It's in Turkish.
Can anyone read this?
Can I try and read it?
Yes. What's your Turkish?
20.
Now, that's enough for this. It's a little note, and it just says, Master, we were able to secure the package under where you will be sitting. You will have to retrieve it in the train yard at Calais.
So that's where Ludovic is sitting now,
mm-hmm.
when he's not unconscious.
when he's not been drugged again.
You might want to go and check on Ludovic then.
Well, Ludovic is still asleep, but he seems to be sitting on a stool, and there's nothing under the stool.
But it said you have to retrieve it from the train yard, so it should be underneath the train.
That's a certainly a possibility. There is a window there. If you wanted to risk leaning out and having a look, you totally could.
I was going to say, we're speeding. Probably not a good plan.
You're speeding through the mountains.
Should we put the meat out the window?
But this is meat and the skin remains out the window as well.
Oh, God. That's going to be the motif for this entire campaign. And then we chucked it out the window. You can spend some time lobbing the bits of Macria out the window if you want.
One at a time so they can't sort of reassemble themselves easily.
Well, the inside of the skin is just mush, so you're pretty certain that this is fairly fatal.
But magic.
I suppose they could put it back together with magic, maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, you can spread his bits out across the line as you see fit. Over the next half an hour, Errol posts bits of Macriat out of the window. That over with, what are we doing next?
Going to lie down.
And move a bit.
That sounds drugs like a good cocaine. Plan.
Yes, lying down.
So you all have a little sleepy then.
Can I sleep? He's gone. There might be others. It's around my hotel now. He hates me now. Oh, no.
So you have a sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to sleep, Errol?
I think Errol probably at this point will fall asleep. He's probably going to lie down going, I'm just going to lie down. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going
to
sleep. It's too dangerous.
And then goes to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. So all of you who are down magic points, regain those magic points.
Ooh. Do we only get up to our actual, what we can get now?
Because
we've dropped PAL.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, what was it, sorry?
It's
a fifth of your PAL.
Yeah, it was one fifth of your current PAL. Okay. So it'll be 2 points less than it was?
Yeah.
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 So you all fall asleep. Now, you awake a few hours later. It's daytime now, but you're still rushing along. And you awake to a knock on the door.
Who's door?
Oh, yeah. It depends. Actually, no, I'm telling you wrong. That wouldn't happen. Sorry. So, have you all gone to sleep in separate rooms, then?
Yeah. Yes, that's
entirely
appropriate. Yes. Well, I don't know. You might all pile up in one because you're so paranoid. In which case, yeah, you do manage to regain your magic points because you do manage to sleep a little bit, but you are actually woken. Who's the furthest down that way? Chester.
Yeah.
Chester's door will be knocked on. Nobody's there. The next one is Dr. Roberts. Nobody's there. The next one is
Errol.
So Errol is woken by a knock on the door.
Yeah.
I think we have forgotten part of our deal. And that's where we're going to end for the evening.
Okay!
Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. I have thoroughly enjoyed finally seeing the back of Mehmet fucking Macriat. Thank you for listening. If you would like to talk to us, you can talk to us at thecultsofteendice.net. You can talk to us at thecultsofteendice@gmail.com. You can also talk to us at cultsofteendice. You can send us iTunes reviews if you want to. You can send us Podchaser's reviews if you want to. You can talk to me at Nordigan, her at tgremlin, him at Blooded Fox, her at ill_porcupino, but she's not actually here at the moment because her internet died. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.